Okay, good evening everyone and welcome to this meeting of the Policy and Resources Committee today on 26th of July. So we'll now start the agenda. So the first item is the emergency evacuation procedure, which I'll ask the Interim Chief Executive to brief members of the public and officers on, please.
Thank you. If the fire alarm does sound, it isn't a test. We aren't expecting that, so it is for real. So we will need to exit the room and the building via your nearest exit. There is one here, and there is one here to the rear. Use the one which is most appropriate, depending on where the nature of the hazard is, should it be actually within the room. And then we congregate in the car park. Thank you.
Thank you. So agenda item two is apologies for absence. Can the committee clerk confirm with her any apologies, please?
Yes, Chairman, we've received apologies from Councillor Val Arnold.
Thank you. And just to confirm, Councillor Farnell is substituting. Thank you. So agenda item three are minutes of the last Policy and Resources Committee outlined on pages 326 of your agenda papers. As Chairman of the Committee, I move the minutes as a correct record. Is that seconded? Thank you. So the Vice Chairman seconds. Councillor Mrs Burr. So we'll be dealing with the Resources Working Party at agenda item five.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, so members do not wish to discuss anything else on the minutes. We'll now proceed to the vote.
Chairman, that's two votes. Seven votes for and two abstentions.
Thank you. So the minutes are carried. So we'll now proceed to agenda item five, which is to consider the recommendations from the Resources Working Party held on the 12th of July 2018, outlined on pages 7 to 10 of your agenda papers. As chairman of that working party, I move the minutes as a correct record. Is that seconded? It's been seconded by the vice chairman. Councillor Burr, you indicated you have a question on these minutes.
I've got a question, Chairman. The Resource Working Party was on the 12th of July. I'm not on that committee. And item 10, the livestock market, was any other business. And am I right in thinking that there was no document that you just announced this, or was there a document handed out relating to this item? Or did you, Chair, just advise that an item, because it's not really clear, did you advise that there would be an item coming to P&R? It's just I want to get a feel of the Resource Working Party's discussion to the item, because I can't see that there's any paperwork. And the report that came today, I just wondered who commissioned the report, Chairman.
Thank you. So I brought forward the item relating to the livestock market under urgent business, given at the time the Resources Working Party was held, I became aware that we would indeed be bringing an item forward to the Policy and Resources Committee. So I gave members an update on the contents of the report which was coming forward and sought members' views. In terms of the report which has come forward this evening, I have given that political stay on this report, which is why it's before us this evening. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. It just causes a moment of puzzlement. What was the urgency about bringing that?
Because I wanted an opportunity to discuss the livestock market prior to it coming to the Policy and Resources Committee. And so therefore, given that the Resources Working Party was being held, there was an opportunity to do that. Councillor Burr.
So, Chairman, just on the same item, there's no reference to how the committee, was there a vote taken, was it just a discussion, is it a discussion that you've decided that party wanted to move it forward, or it's just not clear. There was it wasn't on the agenda, it was at the end, there was no paperwork, and I just wanted to know how you came to this idea that this should be put on 3.2 million is a lot of money. How should it be put on the agenda tonight?
Okay, so like I said, I gave the political stay for this report to come forward. And at the time the Resources Working Party was held, it was apparent that we were indeed in a position to bring forward the report to the Policy and Resources Committee this evening. Because I was aware, at the time the Resources Working Party was being held, there was time for this report to come forward. I therefore had the opportunity to brief members, and indeed there have been several occasions or at previous Resources Working Parties when we've had discussions in relation to the livestock market, and I've kept members abreast as to the ongoing discussions. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, quite often the livestock market is discussed, but never once did I, was I party, or I'm not sure any other members were party to spending 3.2 million. So I just wondered when that decision was made.
It hasn't been made. We're not making it this evening.
When was the decision?
It won't even
made
be made at full council. It would be made after a business case. And that is provided this committee decided to go down that route.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a supplementary. So when did you decide to commission the report of spending 3.2 million, which is on the table tonight?
I decided that was an approach couple of months ago.
2 months ago. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I'm terribly new to this, so please forgive me if I'm confused. The Resources Working Party, is that a discussion group or is it a decision-making group? And if it's a discussion group, there was a vote taken. Can you explain that?
The Resources Working Party is an opportunity for members to discuss their opinions and to give a stay to officers. It is not a decision-making group. Members will vote to, in most cases, to note decisions or to make recommendations to this committee. What we are indeed voting on now is not the minutes, but the recommendations, and any decision is taken this evening. In the same way that afterwards we're going to be dealing with the Grants Working Party, who deal with some quite delicate issues relating to grants. They vote as the working party how they believe the grants should be held, spent. However, it's ultimately for this committee to decide, hence the reason why we vote on those recommendations. So what you've got before you are recommendations coming to this committee. Okay, in which case, with no further questions, I'm now going to proceed to the vote. So we're voting on agenda item 5, which is to consider the recommendations from the Resources Working Party held on the 12th of July 2018. Okay. If you've got the vote, please.
Chairman, that's 5 votes for, 2 against, and 3 abstentions.
Thank you. So those are carried. Proceeding to agenda item 6, which is to consider the recommendations from the Grants Working Party held on the 16th of July 2018, outlined on pages 11 to 16 of your agenda paper. I will ask the Chairman of the Grants Working Party to move the recommendations.
I would like to move the recommendations of the Community Grants Annex 1 and the 106 grant applications Annex 2 on page 11 to 15. And I think the only person who... Sorry, do you want to ask a question?
No.
Oh. The only person who can second it is John Clark, I think, because there's nobody else here.
He's... I will then second it because it needs to be a member of the committee, but obviously it's not, it can still be done despite it not being standard practice, so I'll second that. Any questions or points relating to the Grants Working Party recommendations? Councillor Joy Andrews.
Can I just make it clear, I won't be voting on this. I'll stay in the room, but as one of the applications is for Pickering Town Council and I was involved with it, I won't be voting. I presume you're taking them all in at once.
Yes, that's correct. And we'll also note that under Agenda Item 8, which is Declarations of Interest. Thanks. I think we'll probably look to move the agendas order around in the future, so Declarations of Interest are dealt before dealing with recommendations. Okay, any further points? Okay, if we proceed to the vote, please.
Chairman, 7 votes for and 2 abstentions.
Thank you. So they are carried. In which case, we'll now move on to Agenda Item 7, Urgent Business. As Chairman of this committee, I do not have any urgent business to bring forward this evening. Agenda Item 8 is Declarations of Interest to Declare. Do members have any interest to declare under the Code of Conduct? Councillor Raper.
Be lobbied on 12, Chairman. Personal non-pecuniary.
Thank you. Councillor Duncan.
A member of North Yorkshire County Council. It relates to a few items on the agenda.
Thank you.
I am, Chairman, I am going to declare an interest because I think that it's taken as read that if we are county councillors.
Okay. Acknowledged. So if everyone's declared their interests, we're now going to deal with Part A items, so matters to be dealt with under delegated powers of this committee. So Agenda Item 9 is the Statement of Accounts for the year 2017 to 2018. These are outlined on pages 17 to 124 of your agenda papers. So the Statement of Accounts were also reviewed along with the audit by the Scrutiny Committee yesterday evening. I believe there will be an amendment come forward as the external audit is still ongoing and it may be necessary to amend the Statement of Accounts based on the external audit, so we'll just need to make a provision for that. But the recommendation before you is to approve the 17-18 Statement of Accounts and to authorise the Chief Financial Officer and the Chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee to sign a letter of representation outlined on Annex B. So as Chairman of this committee, I move that recommendation. Is it seconded? It's been seconded by the Vice Chairman. Do members wish to ask any questions on this item? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, this is a very detailed report. I just wondered if you wanted to make any comment about the money that has come to light, the underspend of just under or around £2 million. And was this picked up in these accounts? And why weren't members informed about this underspend? And don't you think it's rather strange to find out about an underspend when we're actually interviewing potential chief executives?
Thank you. So budget monitoring is dealt with by the Resources Working Party, and regular reports go forward to the Resources Working Party to update members on how the budget is progressing in year. I also believe there was a report mid-financial year that came forward to the Policy and Resources Committee. The underspend is higher than was to be expected, hence the reason it's an underspend. Now, there's several reasons for that, and it is across the board. For example, one of the big reasons is that the amount of planning fee income we've got is considerably more than anticipated. Now, one would expect that to be a temporary blip, and there are various other underspends. Now, in answer to your question, yes, that's absolutely reflected in the Statement of Accounts. And the earlier Statement of Accounts were published in April, and I believe that group leaders have also been briefed on this through the regular briefings. Now, I do acknowledge there are perhaps opportunities to improve the flow of information to members so that all members are aware perhaps earlier in the process. I acknowledge that's an area for improvement and that's something which the new Section 151 officer is working on. Although the fact that we have an underspend and we're continuing to deliver services and we've made a lot of savings in the efficiency programme, I do think is a positive thing. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman, for your response. As a member, I just think that it's really, really worrying. That's an awful lot of money. Yes, it's very nice that we've had some windfall, but an underspend is an underspend, and that is not something that I would like this council to really have on its books again. So I would just recommend that you keep a really tight eye on this, and nothing like this happens again, Chairman. Thank you.
I will look at that both ways, Councillor Burr. Equally, if it is possible to continue in delivering great services whilst spending less, I will ensure that happens equally. Because just because we've spent £2 million less does not mean suddenly we've got to go and spend it all next year. If we can continue to provide the same level of services, then ultimately it is saving the taxpayer money, and that money can be used for other purposes, one of which we'll be discussing this evening. Councillor Raper.
Thanks, Chairman. I'm looking at the pensions figures on this. The underspend there is 162,000. Is that going to decrease or increase or stay similar with in following years? Have we got any more further information? Because there isn't an awful lot of information on that particular aspect within the report. It would be useful if we could have a synopsis on that.
The page, please, Councillor Raper. The page.
The page is 24. I'm looking at the main figures list. Pensions, okay, interest, yes. Costs and expected returns on pension assets.
Okay, I mean, I can defer to officers for a more technical explanation, although at a high level, the pension liability is reviewed regularly, so you'll be aware that we are part of the North Yorkshire pension scheme. I believe that pension scheme has been performing better than expected, and the rate of return has been better than expected over the past couple of years. And I know that we did not end up contributing as much as what we anticipated last year, although to ensure that I'm correct, because there's an awful lot of technicalities with pensions, I will defer to officers for a technical explanation, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, the underspend on the pensions line will depend on the staffing levels within the council, so again, it will refer back to the pension, to the staffing budget, and we will be doing more work on that to understand the position on that. I think that will be forthcoming as part of one of the reports to the resources working party.
Yes, Councillor Ripper.
I assume then with the ruling in time and the number of people that's claiming the pension, there will be a fall off of some sort. Will that affect the figures?
Potentially, yes. It will depend on. There's a number of technical adjustments within there, and there's a number of assumptions within there. No.
Have you a timeline on that?
Sorry, no. We would need to understand more about the position.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I was really fascinated by this whole underspend business because it fits in with your last item on the agenda and the surprise item at the Resources Working Party, which is a £3 million punt on an investment. And when it comes to managing our own finances and our staffing, we hired IEZ at considerable expense to reduce staff costs, to reduce costs in general, in particular senior staff. We were so confident of this that we paid one officer £130,000 to go down the road, but then surprisingly replaced him promptly with a near identical role. We end up, as far as I can see, with 9 senior officers in place, in place of the 7 who were there before. And despite this need for downsizing, we underspent by over £2 million. We had overspent in the previous year and anticipate underspending this year too. Were we very inefficient before and so could easily do away with those staff and not suffer cuts to services? And what happened to the cuts to the senior management? And how is it that we still anticipate significant savings in the current year? And has all the pain and expense of what the council has done and gone through been simply to put us in a position to have a gamble on something that we have no previous experience with? Because we know about councils, we know about our finances on a month-by-month basis, a quarter-by-quarter basis, and yet we are undershot by a massive amount. And I think underspending by 30% or more is not a wise move. And we've got £13 million worth of savings now, which is marvellous, but these are said to be earmarked. And does that mean to say that the savings are actually earmarked for a particular project, or is it just that we have savings? And has all this downsizing and pain that we've suffered been just so that we can buy a cattle market? We've lost departments, we've lost officers, and that puts a strain on other officers if we're not going to cut services. In the last meeting where we discussed finances, we talked about inevitable cuts to services. And yet we've been squirreling away a third of our budget. Our plan was to spend a third more. We've lost probably your favourite sort of item of public awareness and interest. When I suggested in my first meeting, you thought that fracking wasn't an issue in Rydale, but that dog poo was. Well, we've lost our dog warden. We've lost people in the legal department. We've lost people in planning department. We've lost people in environmental health. We were planning to set a huge contract in sport, and we let our sports officer go when there was a £10 million budget to be dealt with. I just find that we don't really know what we're doing with our resources. I think we should not be having a gamble on something we know nothing about whatsoever. Is this financial wisdom, or is it chaos?
Thank you, Councillor Thornton. I am going to take that as a question. I'm going to take that as a comment and a contribution to the debate, because there's an awful lot of points there. Do any of the members wish to ask a question, or we'll move into debate? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I concur with some of the things that my fellow councillor has said. So, over the past 5 years, this council has been coping with austerity, and we have laid off many of our staff, and we've had no money to spend on this building, hence we are now moving. Our team, our marvellous team of officers, are under enormous pressure and work really diligently to do everything. We've formed new partnerships, we've done everything to save money. We've even made the elderly pay to take away green waste. And then what this budget is showing is that we've had a £2 million underspend, which in my eyes is actually devastating. However, you have acknowledged that you will keep an eye on this and maybe do better next time. So my thoughts on this are we really confident that we can move forward and not have this type of fiasco happen again?
My, I think that this committee would be a lot more up in arms if we had a £2 million overspend. The fact is that this council has transformed the way it works. You talked about partnerships there. I think we're much better off for having partnerships. We've now got more resilience. If you look what's happening with HR, if you look what's happening with legal, before one person left the organisation and we were in trouble because we didn't have that backup in place. We've now got the backup and the resilience provided by working with the county council, and we've also got the savings that have been achieved there. Now, the question which Councillor Thornton put earlier is about the impact of austerity, and is the council better off for austerity? Well, if you consider that our net budget is nearly £2 million lower than what it was before the start of austerity in 2010. If you consider the impact on the average person, on the average resident, it's been absolutely minimal, that impact. Yet £2 million of their hard-earned taxpayers' money has been taken out of the organisation. That's nearly the same as the entire precept that we level itself. And so, yes, there was fat in the organisation in 2010. Yes, we weren't always being efficient as possible, but we're working a lot smarter, a lot better now, and that, I think, is a positive thing. Any other members, please? Councillor Wainwright.
Yeah, Chairman, I haven't really got my head round your first statement that you made when we opened this question time. We put down the underspend to the planning income going up. That's not underspend. That's an increase in our assets as opposed to an underspend, is it not?
It's classed as an underspend in terms of public sector finances because that's income, which in turn means that your actual overall spend, your net spend, is less. Now, I have commissioned a full report in terms of the underspend, which will outline that in detail. We did have a high-level overview to the Resources Working Party, but that detailed report will be coming forward. Councillor Burr.
It seems that quite a lot of councillors are quite confused, and underspend and overspend has been mentioned. But what I would say is if we'd have had a tight grip on our money, we would have all been aware of exactly what was happening. So I just think that it's really, really important that we take some lessons from this and not be talking about maybe this, that and the other, because actually it's very, very serious, even in a business, that you don't know what you're doing. And it seems to me that we haven't known what we were doing. So I'm sorry, obviously, Councillor Wainwright, that you're not really sure of underspends and overspends, but what my point is that we haven't a clue.
Councillor Duncan.
Obviously, we had this underspend this year, which means that we might be reflecting on that and adjusting our budgets for the next year. Do we have any idea so far what the budget for this coming year is looking like, and whether there's going to be a similar underspend in this financial year?
Okay, so I think you mentioned the underspend of £2 million for this year. Indeed, there was an underspend the year before of £1 million. So it's not just a one-off thing. Now, in order to set the budget for the next financial year, I think it's important we first reflect on the previous one, which is why I've commissioned the detailed report. And yes, there's obviously more reasons than just planning income there is for the underspend. There's been quite a few vacancies, which has led to the underspend in terms of staff wages. But you know, we're about to embark on that process, which means that when we come to set the budget for the next financial year, it will be a root and branch review. And my opinion is that if this council can function well and deliver great services, and yet we can do that at a lower cost to the taxpayer, then we absolutely should. I know the likes of the Liberal Party, for example, like to have as big a state and as big a government as possible. Indeed, what we're also forgetting last year is that we saved nearly £1 million in the new Hearn's bonus reserve, which some advocated spending straight away. So I think there's a lot of positives to come out of this in terms of how we are managing our finances and the prudent approach that we are taking. Councillor Thornton.
3 years in a row we'll be making underspends, according to the papers. For 2.5 years we were unaware of the extent of this ongoing process. Had we known of this, do you think we might have made different decisions about the dog warden, about putting money into affordable housing, about many other things, like having people who will answer the telephone here, even just for the simplest thing? I don't know whether you've tried telephoning in without going straight to a direct dial, but you do sit there waiting a while. And so we could, and arguably should, be spending more money to try to help the universal credit settle down better, which seems to have been a nightmare for a considerable number of people. That's now recognised by elements of the government as well. We could have looked into investing in housing, affordable housing, that we could rent out and perhaps make a profit on that. We could have looked into all manner of things, except we've been tightening our belts, and we now end up sitting on a pot of cash. And when it comes to the final item, we'll be talking about spending that cash. And I leave people just to think about that for a while. This is money that really belongs to residents, that we are managing for them. And there are a lot of residents who probably feel that services are tightened, and okay, austerity is hitting everybody, but it's not hitting Rydale. We've been squirreling it away. I just find it astonishing that we've got this sort of duality. And I don't know how many members were aware of this going on.
I would assume that all members, if they read the agenda papers, would be aware of the £1 million underspend for last year. Councillor Vapor.
Thank you, Chairman. It astounds me that there's so much negativity coming out from a good news piece of information that we've been given, that we have this financial windfall. It's not money that we've earned. It's money that's come in because of housing. It's money that's come in. It's not our underspend or overspending. It's not what we spent that we're talking about here. It's about money that's come in from the provision of housing that we've done historically. This is historical financial benefit coming to us now. Now, if we don't know it's coming in, we can't spend it before we get it. And we can't provision for that before it comes in. We can make desirable outcomes and aspirationals, but you can't spend it before it gets here. Now it's got here. Now we can decide what we need to do and how we need to do it. I'm amazed that people have been so negative.
Okay. Do any of the members wish to speak on this item? And I will come back to you for a final point, Councillor Thornton, because we're just getting into a bit of ping pong now, but do other members of the committee wish to speak?
Okay.
Yes, I'll allow you one Okay. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Of course, I'm delighted we've got money in the kitty. It's just that we employ people to look to the future. We have consultants to look at the future. And you yourself probably have been busy with financial management because that's your strong point. It's just that I don't think after 1 year of underspend, we were made aware that there was going to be an even bigger bumper harvest the next year. We surely know when houses are going to be built and when we're going to collect on the divvy from building houses. And bingo, this current year, there's going to be an underspend on that as well.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I think our financial management is in a mess. However, on page 129, page 5, I was looking at the environment issue, and I was really disappointed to see about our recycling figures. And
sorry, page 129, that's moving on to the next agenda item, which is the update the council plan.
All right, okay.
So, sorry, I think we've missed a page out in terms of separating it, but that is the...
It's okay, it doesn't matter.
Councillor Gardner?
Just quickly, to accuse the people who work here that we're in a mess financially, is a bit overly critical. We have good news here. If we had gone over, as has been mentioned, if we'd spent in excess, we would have been in real trouble. I think we should take what we've got here positively and work to the benefit of Rydale because of it.
Councillor Duncan?
Just one or two comments that I wanted to make is that obviously the underspend represents something like a third of our budget. I would put a punt on the fact that there's probably no council in the country which has an underspend as a fraction of our budget as big as ours. And while I can take the point that perhaps reducing our expenditure is perhaps a positive thing which allows us to look to investing into other things, it's important to remember that this is an underspend, not just a saving. It's a saving within the year which we did not expect to happen. It's not simply a savings programme spread over 5 years and in each year saying what we're going to save at the end of that five-year period. It's something that's happened unexpectedly within the year. The underspend according to the budget that we had set at the start of the year. And I think that's the important thing to remember, that something has happened within the year that has caused that underspend to happen. It's not just simply savings. It's savings according to what we had budgeted for. And I'd just like to make a point that the acting chief executive should not be making noises when members are speaking. Thank you very much.
Okay. So, we'll now move on to the vote on approving the annual accounts, which are, there's a lot of accountancy in there. It's ordinary, very technical, yet obviously we've got involved into a much broader discussion about budgeting. But we are actually, just to confirm, approving the annual accounts. Now, I do need to move a technical amendment, because like I said, the audit is still ongoing externally. If you just bear with me, I'll load the amendment. You got it there. So it's that we add an additional provision that delegated authority be given to the Chief Executive Interim in consultation with the Chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee to approve any further adjustments required to the Statement of Accounts as a result of the external audit. I'll move that as Chairman. Delegated authority be given to the Chief Executive Interim in consultation with the Chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee to approve any further adjustments required to the Statement of Accounts as a result of the external audit. Okay. So can we just move straight to the vote, Councillor Thornton?
Sorry, that's a funny thing to do, to say, well, we'll just fix the figures without reference to the rest of the P&R, isn't it?
It was being considered yesterday by the scrutiny committee, of which I'm sure the honourable member would know who chairs that. Yet it's actually this committee.
I hold my wrist out.
Okay.
My understanding was that yesterday we said we would look at it, the committee would look at it, but if they couldn't, well then the chair would look at it as advised by the external auditor. I'm not quite sure that your wording today was the same as the wording we had yesterday. If it was, then that's fine. But our wording there was done yesterday, because I can't see from it, really, from here. My eyesight is ancient. I've never been able to have done that anyway. Bluntly, yesterday what we were doing was trying to avoid the Overview and Scrutiny Committee having to meet again between now and next Tuesday. But changes to it, etc., should be done. You should be allowed to speak on behalf of the committee. But that's the way we worded it yesterday. I know not. I bow to what the officers recommend now on it. But it would be nice to hear the wording again. Thank you, Chair.
Got some wording which was going to scrutiny yesterday, and it was pointed out that it's this committee that actually approved the accounts, and the timescales are very short here. Bearing in mind, any amendments would be very technical, it'd be nothing material whatsoever. Would you really want to call a Policy and Resources Committee in the next few days to approve a very, very technical item? I'm sure that people would not consider that to be good use of taxpayers' money, no matter what the underspend may be. Hence the reason for the amendment. So we'll now proceed to the vote on that, please.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you. So that is carried. Just bear with me. So we're now going to move on to agenda 8 and 10. No, we haven't. Thank you, Councillor Wainwright. You can tell it's a hot day. And the air condition isn't could be working stronger. So we now need to move back to the substantive recommendation, which we're going to move on to the vote, please.
Chairman, 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you. So moving on to agenda 8 and 10, delivering the council plan outlined on pages 125 to 134 of your agenda papers. Okay, so a lot of information here. Councillor Mrs. Burr, I think you did start to... were you asking a question on it before we making a point? I'll deal with questions first.
Question.
Okay, yes, please.
So first of all, it is very difficult to read this agenda because the council plan runs on straight from the last item. So I just ask if that could be actually made clear, because I thought that was part of the financial plan. It looks as though a page has been missing, but it doesn't matter. So what I wanted to say is I wanted to just ask members to take a look at page 129, and it's 5 on the actual report, and it's just regarding recycling. Have we got it? So I've always been really proud of this council and its recycling targets and its recycling aspirations, but this report is very, very disappointing, to say the least, and it's actually going down, it's not going up. We've got an aspirational target of waste sent to recycling and composting. We've got a very low target of 43%. Yes, we've done 50%, but in my eyes, why aren't we saying that we need 75%? My question is, don't you think it's time that this council really looked at its recycling policy and set some new ambitious targets for us as a recycling council, and actually get us back to where we were before, winning awards, gold standards, whereas on the figures, obviously, there's a decline. Thank you.
Okay, so obviously recycling is very topical at the moment, and I don't think anyone could disagree that we all need to recycle more, particularly anyone who watched Blue Planet 2, and certainly that is very much on the agenda. I think it's important that this council is part of that agenda, and obviously if we can improve, then that's something we absolutely should do. I am keen that when we look at the way we recycle and also we collect waste in general, we should look at that not just in isolation as a district, but at a wider county level as well, because one of my big frustrations with the setup of local government is that we've got 7 district councils, each who collect waste in their own individual way, using their own systems, etc., which is completely inefficient, and that could lead to savings, and those savings could indeed be invested in improving the offering. So I know this is something we are going to be looking into. Indeed, a motion came forward to the last council, which is now going to be the subject of a report coming to the Policy and Resources Committee. So I agree that we should be working to improve the level of recycling and looking at how we can deliver a wider range of recycling, particularly in relation to plastics. Councillor,
Could I just come back on that? So you actually didn't answer my question, Chairman. What I asked you is, could we increase these target figures? Even if we agree to increase them by 25%, that would be a really good start. I think that was my question to you. Would you be willing to increase these targets on recycling?
Yes, subject to it being based on evidence and the us obtaining the information, which will be considered as part of that report. What I'm not willing to do is at this meeting go, right, I think we need a target of that, I think we need the information, and then we can obviously look at the target.
It's just an aspirational target. We don't need any evidence. It's an aspirational target. You don't need evidence behind that.
I think targets need to be realistic and achievable in order for them to be meaningful. Councillor Raper.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Exactly on the same point I was going to make it. The 43% that we've got, is this reflected and concurrent with the uptake of the people who volunteer to pay for their green waste to be recycled as to how that figure is arrived at? We don't have a full complement of everybody who is a resident of this council area putting material forward for recycling and green waste. And is that why this particular figure is arrived at? Or is that just green waste that I'm speaking to and not just the recyclables themselves? There must be a reason why that figure's arrived at historically. And I agree with you, it must be evidenced somehow and somewhere. And probably if that particular piece of information was brought forward for our information, it would be useful for members.
Okay, so that will be considered as part of the report which is coming forward in terms of recycling. Any other questions on the report as a whole? No, in which case I'll move that we note the report as chairman of this committee. Is that seconded? Councillor Arnold, the vice chairman, seconds. Unless anyone wishes to make a broader comment in debate, we'll proceed straight to the vote.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 against.
Thank you, so that is carried. Okay, so moving to agenda item 11, the asylum dispersal scheme outlined on pages 135 to 142 of the agenda papers. That report is going to be withdrawn this evening because there has been a change in the situation. So the York, North Yorkshire and East Riding Housing Board met on the 23rd of July, that was this Monday, to consider an update on this item. And it was reported that the contracts with the Home Office are still ongoing and have not yet been resolved. And so therefore, the strong recommendation is that we postpone our decision until we have full information and the issue regarding contracts between the Home Office and the provider are resolved, because we wouldn't wish to make a decision now. Okay? Unless members strongly object to that approach, that item will be withdrawn. Councillor Raper.
Chairman, I think we need a briefing on this particular topic and subject to give us more information to base a sound decision-making scenario on.
Okay, so that's part of the withdrawal, which allows us to obtain the information once the situation is clear. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Did you get any indication that this further consideration by the Home Office will actually bring forward the date that we can do something about it? Because we were looking to 2019 to take any action, and I'm not quite sure whether these asylum seekers requiring dispersal are bobbing in the sea or sitting in Yarlwood, the sort of prison that they go to, or what their situation is. Do you have any steer from your source as to when we might be getting some decisions and some direction on this?
No. Now, the, like you said, the original intention was to have the contracts in place by September 2019. I'm unsure whether that timetable is changing as a result of the uncertainty with the contracts, and that's why I think it's very important that we are aware of the situation before making a decision. Councillor Burr.
Yes, Chairman. I did want to talk about this, but I'm quite happy to leave it at the moment. I think that I would respectfully ask that you actually keep a very close eye on this. I think you've only got to think about if you put yourself in the asylum seeker's position, and I think Rydale do need to do their bit, but I'm quite worried that there's no timeline for this, and it could be in 2 months, it could be in a year. We've done really well with the refugees in this area, and they are settling very well, but the asylum seekers, we do need to keep an eye on this. And if I could respectfully ask you, if you could update us, just update members of how it's going, maybe every couple of weeks, just to let us know, because I think it's an important subject.
So I can't commit to providing updates every couple of weeks, because if there's no progress, then there'd be nothing to report. But by all means, I can request that the minutes of the North Yorkshire and East Riding Housing Board are distributed to members, and indeed Councillor Arnold is our representative on that board. You asked me to put myself in the shoes of refugees, which I'm absolutely willing to consider. Equally, I will also put myself in the shoes of the many thousands of residents who have been on housing waiting lists for, in some cases, many years. Councillor Thornton.
Yeah, the subtle difference is that they're not being bombed or otherwise persecuted. However, there's a figure of £600 million of government money floating around there, potentially. If we're going to take a gamble on something, do you not think we should be gambling on sticking up suitable housing, taking the lot, and enjoying a massive cut in the whole thing?
So are you advocating that we take £600 million and house all of the refugees which are needing to be housed?
Well, I think it's probably going to be more profitable than a market.
You may believe that, Councillor Thornton. I would have very different opinions. Now, we're now going to proceed on to the next item, because that's withdrawn. So we're now going to consider the Moulton and Norton Infrastructure and Connectivity Improvement Study, outlined on pages 143 to 196 of your agenda papers. Can I ask who's the lead officer in this? Is it Howard or Jill? Just in case of questions. Or Gary? Okay, so if we have questions, we've got sufficient officers if they are of technical nature. Okay, so the recommendation on page 143 is that we endorse the findings of the connectivity study, and there's various other recommendations there in terms of how we progress it, including the allocation of up to £80,000 to deliver proposals for internal junction improvements. Now, I know that we've got several members from Moulton and Norton here this evening, so I will, as a matter of courtesy, come to you both first, although I think some people have made the point that this issue affects not just only the Moulton and Norton conurbation, but the wider district as well. Okay, so Councillor Burt, have you got any questions or anything to add on this as a ward member?
Yes, Chairman, I'd like to start by just saying that I've just witnessed a crash on the crossings in Norton. And whatever happens with these complementary measures, please could a strong message go out that we get that road, that junction, put back to how it was, because I tell you what, officers at county were saying it's very safe and no accidents will happen. If you witness what I witnessed tonight, and in all my years I've never ever seen an accident on that crossing, but with the new roadworks, it was absolutely appalling. But the complementary measures and the improvement study, to me, and I thank the officers for doing it, it's a complete and utter merry-go-round. And the amount of people that say to me, the locals know what is needed, why are we spending money on quick wins? We've been round and round and round a lot of years. Take, for example, a slip lane at the traffic lights on Butcher Corner. nothing's ever done. North York County Council has £650,000, over £500,000 of our money to go towards complementary measures, and we've tried to get that money and it's been squirreled away and we haven't been able to get it. And it was secured on the Bramlin Fields, whether we like it or not, whatever your views are, it was secured because I went down to Westminster and got that. Air quality in Butcher Corner is ridiculous. We aren't moving any forward. We spent £25,000 on a feasibility study, and County has made a monumental mess of the traffic situation in Moulton and Norton. Rydale Council spent £75,000, or was going to spend on the car park strategy. It's just a shame that local councillors can't get together and bang some heads together in a room and try to get these improvements, because I think if they just asked us, we could save them a lot of money and we'd tell them how to do these complementary measures. So do you think, Chairman, that that's something you would like to see, the local members really getting involved with this rather than study after study and money after money? Because, as I say, it's just this merry-go-round, and the only people that are making money are these people who are charging us for these reports. And we talked a lot tonight about saving the taxpayers' money. Well, I don't know about you, but I think this has been going on far too long. And in the big scheme of it, we're told, and Councillor Duncan and I met our MP, and we're told there's no money. So we can only do complementary measures. We would be looking at the big scheme, but we've told by Julian when we had a meeting, there's no money. So we have to do drop curbs and have some quick wins. But dear, oh dear, this merry-go-round is spinning out of control, I think.
Thank you. I know you asked a question and it's tempting for me to answer it, but I think you made a wider comment there, and I think it's important that I open it up to the wider group. I will have my say, absolutely,
okay, thank
but I just
you.
Don't want to dominate everything. One point I will make, though, is that the Bramlin Fields Junction was funded not by Westminster, but the vast majority of funding came from Rydale District Council and also North Yorkshire County Council.
If I just could come back on that, you weren't actually here when that happened, and there was a contribution of a lot of people's money, and it would not have happened without an awful lot of bodies putting money together. Yes, Rydale District Council did put money in, but North York County Council put money, and they have been keeping our money. So it is Rydale's money. So Luke, with all due respect, I was there, members who have been on this council a long time, it was a joint effort and a lot of people put a lot of money in.
I may only be 26, Lindsay, but I was here when we took the decision as a council to fund the Bramlin Fields Junction improvement. Councillor Duncan.
I had a question on the report, if that's okay. obviously, we've commissioned WSP to carry out this report, and we've now got that, I think, the final report in front of us, which talks about some quick wins and also talks about some longer-term options. I believe I'm right in thinking that the money for the quick wins is available from North Yorkshire County Council from the money which was previously allocated towards the complementary measures to do with the Bramlin Fields junction roundabout improvement. In our report, it talks about allocating potentially £80,000 towards internal junction improvements and the traffic signal strategy. My question is, how has that figure been determined, and are we aware of how much money North Yorkshire County Council is able to allocate to those particular to that particular option?
Have we got an answer on the North Yorkshire contribution, please? I don't know if you'd be aware of that. You know, if we've got county councillors in the room.
Thank you, Chairman. I think Gary's just pointed out it's on page 149 of the agenda. It mentions the complementary measures budget. There is money still available. We have had discussions with County Council, and the local area office has indicated that money. There's no reason that money shouldn't be available, but they do need to get that approved by their executive board. So there is money available we hope is going to be approved, and it can match any contribution that we put into developing the strategy to look at improving local junctions. That also, as well as the £80,000 from ourselves, we would hope to get a match figure from the County Council. It will also include, as a first step, developing an up-to-date transport model for Moulton and Norton, which is a prerequisite to being able to work out what the impacts of any changes to junctions would be, the knock-on effects to other junctions in the town, and that's one of the things that you need to do before the County Council will be willing to make any changes to the highway network.
Well, I completely agree that we should be prioritising this particular project. While I note that on page 149 there is £650,000 that North Yorkshire County Council still have for the complementary measures, that doesn't say how much money the quick wins are going to cost, how much the internal junction changes are going to cost, and how much North Yorkshire County Council are perhaps going to be able to allocate to the project. And I worry that if we say up to £80,000 at the moment, I can't see anything in the report for a basis of that figure. And I'm just wondering if there's any particular working or calculations that have happened as to why we've come to £80,000 in particular.
Chairman, would you like me to answer that?
Yeah, for you, the calculation of the £80,000, is there a reason it's £80,000 in particular?
I would say it's not a calculation as such as an initial estimate, a budget figure that the consultants have suggested, and alongside ourselves and North Yorkshire County Council Highways Office to look at developing a transport model for the towns, and also looking at proposing, testing and developing business cases for any changes to the highway network. In terms of the costs of what the quick wins could be, the total cost of those, the total costs of any other interventions on the highway network, until we look at specific designs, we don't have those costs, and we can't have those costs until we've done the necessary preparation work, the transport model, the designs and the cost estimates.
Yeah, I suppose my only point is that it's quite interesting that we've decided to spend an amount of money before we actually know how much particular things are going to cost. And I perhaps think that in terms of spending money on this project, we need to make sure it's allocated to the right things of which members want to prioritise, and I think we need to know the costs of those before we start allocating money. And I think perhaps there's some work to be done there on knowing exactly what this is going to be spent on in particular, rather than just allocating a figure up to £80,000. And that's not to say that I don't think money should be spent on this project, because I do. It's just I just worry about where that figure's come from.
If I may, Chairman, I would just say we can't, until we get to the point where we've spent more money on developing the options, we won't have those costs.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just going to make a comment myself on this as a ward member, then obviously I'll come to the other members on this committee. I think my view is that this is the number one priority for Moulton and Norton. Indeed, it could be argued it's one of the number one priorities for Rydal. The thought of the number of trains doubling either later on this year, although that's probably going to be delayed, and next year, is terrifying to me, because the traffic plagues the town. The emissions plague the town. And if you look at why this report has come forward, it's because Rydal District Council has been banging on the drum saying we need to do something about it. And indeed, I think we've been doing that for 2 years. And we have actually put our money where our mouth is by actually commissioning this report. Now, one of my frustrations with the way that government and indeed any transport authorities work is the bureaucracy involved and the cost involved. I absolutely agree with Councillor Burr that there's nothing, no substitute for local knowledge, and indeed many residents have strong opinions on the existing junction layout. One of the recommendations in this report is that we look towards digital signalling and the synchronisation of train times, which could hugely reduce the barrier to downtime. That should be a priority, in my opinion, but getting Network Rail to move at a pace is just not, it's immensely frustrating. So I think the message from this council has to be loud and clear. We want something done, and we want something done fast. Yes, we also want to implement the quick wins. That's why they are indeed quick wins. And I think we need to stand ready to use our reserves for some of the bigger projects, because whilst I admit it's necessary at times to pay commission the reports in order to base decisions on evidence and actually get external funding, ultimately what we want to see is action, not more talk and more reports, and that's what we need. I am going to insist that we are regularly briefed on the progress of this, because it's very important to me, as I stated, and I think members have got a keen interest on this. So this will absolutely be coming forward to future Policy and Resources Committee meetings. It may not be every meeting, but indeed we are going to be absolutely briefed on this. Okay, because like I said, the thought of the number of trains doubling is deeply worrying. And you know, I've heard a lot of news. Well, it's going to be great for the town, the trains being doubled. Indeed, yes, it would be great had we not had that level crossing. And for me, I question whether the benefits of the doubling of the train services outweigh the negatives if we're going to have a town that grounds to a halt. So it's outside of our hands, but that doesn't mean we can't influence it, and it doesn't mean that we can't make change, particularly in relation to helping to finance things or kickstart things. Okay, Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I'm going to have to abstain on this issue because it hasn't been possible to absorb a detailed, technical at times set of papers, and I wasn't aware until a very kind telephone call on Tuesday that there was a link that I could go on to get the full WSP report. Now, I like to read the full reports rather than the edited highlights. And it's fascinating, and I've got stuck in various places. 157 pages of quite technical, detailed stuff to read, absorb, and we haven't had time to have a group meeting to discuss this. There will be good things, there will be difficult things, and we're just not quite sure how this should play out. But I know from my own canvassing in Norton that East Norton think that the change in the traffic at the railway crossing is a desperately awful thing. But be reassured, I suddenly discovered a large number of people in West Norton who thought it was fantastic because they don't have to change gear now all the way from the top end of their road right until they get to the traffic lights. So they did identify, however, that the big problem in Norton, and probably in Malton, is a lack of investment in infrastructure, starting with the roads, but then with many, many other things. I didn't have a single person lamenting the lack of a livestock market. And so I just think that maybe we're getting our priorities mixed on this. If we're going to develop housing, if we're going to cram our fields full of new development, we have to have the infrastructure. And with most infrastructure projects, it's better to get them in before you build the houses rather than years afterwards. So I think this is going to come like the curate's egg, but I can't really determine whether I agree with it or disagree with it, because I just haven't had time to look at it adequately, and I'd be interested to know when the full report was actually posted on the website.
It was published on the website on Monday at round about lunchtime, and that link was sent out to members immediately.
Yeah, just to confirm, the reason why this is still coming forward is the report was only available on the Monday. Had we waited just simply to publish it, you know, a few days before the committee, so instead of doing it 4 days before the committee, instead if we waited for 7 days, the next opportunity to consider this item, going to Policy and Resources Committee and then going on to Council, you'd be looking at September. and I think it was only right that we bring it forward at the earliest opportunity to the Policy and Resources Committee, given that still a huge amount of information was available for this committee, and indeed this will also be going on to full council for a final decision. And so for the sake of 1 or 2 days, I think it's only right that we brought it forward, and like I said, this item was listed on the agenda papers. Councillor Thornton.
Chair, can I remind you that I was only aware of it 2 days before? But, you know, I'm not that... I've done my speed reading course. I enjoyed it enormously. Thank you to the Council for providing that. I can't do 157 pages in the time available.
OK. Do other members wish to speak on this item? No. Councillor Arnold.
I'd love to see improvements in Moulton. I'd love to see money spent in Moulton. But I struggle to find how we're going to improve the infrastructure without bulldozing the road straight from the middle or around the other side. Because Moulton's Moulton, and it will always, as far as I'm concerned, it'll always be congested with the traffic lights and the crossing. And I can't see any other way around it.
Councillor Farnell.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I personally don't know what is right or wrong for Moulton or for the railway crossing junction, but we do need to move things forward quickly with minimum funds on reports and more funds on improvements and quick wins. I was sat at the crossing the other day when the ambulance was trying to get across. Mm. More trains just made me think, how on earth are emergency responders ever going to get anywhere?
Okay, so we started with questions and I think we moved very quickly into debate and perhaps I forgot that we've not moved and seconded this item, so apologies for that. So as Chair, I'll move.
I'll second, yeah.
That's seconded. Any further comments on this report before we proceed to the vote? Councillor Duncan?
Yes, Chairman. The recommendation that we've got to consider asks for us to consider what role the council should take with regards to option C, the walkway and bridge, and whether we should allocate money towards the cost of the option appraisal and strategic business case. In the recommendation on that particular item, for C, walkway and bridge, there isn't actually a recommendation there for us to approve, whereas with F there is a detailed recommendation with a cost attached to it. Could I just clarify what exactly, with regards to the walkway and bridge, we are approving? I'd also point out to you on page 148, it does give some potential things which you might like to consider, one of which is the council's role, and the other is potentially allocating £300,000 to £500,000. That's the total cost, and putting some money towards that. Have we got a recommendation which we are going to debate and discuss on that particular bit, because until we've got that sorted, I don't think we can actually vote on anything.
I think it would be a good idea to discuss those allocations at the resources working party. Alternatively, you know, we can move amendments here this evening, which can go on to full council. There's a lot of recommendations here. And I think the message is loud and clear that we want to move forward.
If I could suggest a way forward, Chairman, I think little three, we could perhaps recommend those to council. But the intervention specific recommendations, clearly it sounds as if we haven't got a precise idea at the moment, and we might need to take further consideration on exactly which interventions we want to spend money on. And I think it's interesting that on item C, the walkway and bridge, we've been asked to consider what we might like to allocate, but with F there's £80,000 attached to it, and perhaps we should consider both of those together collectively and decide exactly which amounts of money we would like to spend and on what, so that we make sure that we're in synergy with North Yorkshire County Council and the amount of money that they're spending. That's just a suggestion, unless members have got something, a specific amount in their minds that they'd like to allocate to option C, and I personally don't have an amount in my head at the moment.
I agree. I do not think we should be progressing the walkway and bridge at the moment, because I think ultimately a lot lay with North Yorkshire County Council. Indeed, they've got funding allocated towards this, so it's to a certain extent the ball will be within their court, and we need to understand how things proceed before deciding our next steps as well. But equally, it's important that we move forward with the recommendations that we can move forward with. The strategy and junction improvement, I think the reason for the 80,000 is an acknowledgement that in order for that to happen, this council will need to contribute towards that. It may not be the case, but as anything, you know, the ball tends to get rolling with these things when someone steps forward. I think the recommendation before us is helpful in that it progresses that item quickly, but the other items, I think we need to wait for North Yorkshire's response, and then if we wish to consider intervention as a council, then we can do that, and any specific discussions regarding allocations can be picked up with the Resources Working Party and go through that procedure, if so, on an expedited basis, because I would be willing to call extraordinary meetings if necessary.
I appreciate that, Chairman. However, I would perhaps prefer that before we allocate any money towards this project, the same of what you've said about option C, I think, applies to F. We haven't actually got, really, any knowledge so far of what North Yorkshire County Council is deciding to put into this project. And personally, I would like to make sure that we knew that before we decided to allocate, given that North Yorkshire County Council will be taking the lead on that. I think it might be best for us to wait and see what North Yorkshire, you know, get something firm from North Yorkshire County Council before we proceed with allocating a particular amount of money, but endorse the report as a whole and stress that we would like to move forward as soon as possible with that.
Okay, I think you make some salient points. Is that a recommendation? Sorry, an amendment? You'll need to amend it if you wish that to happen.
Well, I think I'm sensing broad agreement for the first three points, but I just think we're not quite sure.
You could move an amendment that you defer points 4 and 5 until a later committee meeting pending further information from North Yorkshire.
I will be happy with that if you're happy with that, Chairman.
Okay, so we've got an amendment before us. Can we proceed straight to the vote on that one, please? Just experiencing a few technical issues. I think the vote was 8-4, 2 abstentions. The 2 abstentions, I believe, from Councillor Andrews and Councillor Thornton. Everyone else was in favour. We can provide members with a copy of the full voting record afterwards, but that's what it was. So that amendment is passed. We're now going to move on and what we'll say. Councillor Duncan, thank you for that contribution, because I think this committee works best when we actually delve into the detail and look together to improve recommendations and do that constructively. However, quite often, and perhaps I am guilty of this myself, quite often it can descend into a wider political discussion. So thank you for that. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I was waiting patiently for the Malton School Sports Centre to come up for conversation. Has that just been waved through without any discussion? I think we jumped to the end.
There is no item on Malton School.
That was in the Resources Working Party. Did that not come here?
We considered the Resources Working Party recommendations, and indeed there was no decision regarding that. However, there's further. There may be further activity in the future so that decisions come forward to this committee.
Thank you.
Okay, so just to confirm, we're still on this recommendation. We've still got to vote on it. I do want to bring this to an end. So, Councillor Duncan, I'll come to you and then we'll go into the vote.
Sorry to come back, Chairman. At the resources working party, when we discussed this, we did discuss about member involvement and relations with the Malton and Norton Connectivity Working Party. And one of the things that was mentioned in the at that meeting and is in the minutes is that the working party should take notes and circulate those, take some minutes and circulate those to members so that everybody was kept informed. I don't know if we need to formally add that to our recommendation for about the minutes, or if that's just something that's going to happen.
There is an officer working party on this, which is quite technical, and it, you know, officers agreed there's no decision required from a committee, that the minutes of that officer working party will be distributed to all members who want to receive copies of those, and indeed all ward members by default. What we have agreed this evening as a result of the amendment which came forward is that we are going to consider perhaps specific allocations in the future, and that will start in a working party of members. So this issue is not going away, and indeed I think it's going to be coming around quite a lot for members given the interest in this item. So because of that, and the fact we've discussed it quite extensively now, we're going to move on to the vote. So we'll now vote.
Chairman, that's 7 votes for and 3 abstentions.
Thank you, sir. That is carried. We're now going to move on to agenda 13, which is the Malton Livestock Market, outlined on pages 197 to 216 of your agenda papers. So, like I stated, this item has been discussed at various resources working parties. However, the proposal which is coming forward this evening is something which can hopefully actually give the matter some traction, because I know it's been going on for a matter of decades now, the issue of the relocation of the livestock market. Just to confirm, what we will be recommending, deciding whether to recommend this evening, is that the council puts £150,000 in to support the development of a business case, and that subject to that business case, we could then move on to lead the development of a livestock market. Depending on the option which we choose, which I would assume would be option 2 as per the recommendation, that could entail the spending of council money to build the building. However, when that building will be an asset that this council will own and will also receive an income from. So it's not like it's spent, it's gone. There will be an asset which will hopefully increase in value and also generate an income. And then in addition to that, you know, if you look at the income which could be generated, it is higher than what it's currently generating within our bank account. And it will also safeguard this asset for the use of the community, particularly the farming community, for generations to come. This issue has been going on such a long time. Ultimately, you've got to move things forward, which is why this suggestion has come forward. Now, I know we have looked at alternatives, such as potential loans or potential gifts, but the problem is that you run up against state aid rules. And then, in addition to that, you know, it's giving money, it's not being secured against an asset. So for me, this protects the taxpayer's purse, it moves things forwards, it delivers a tangible outcome, and I think it's something very positive. Happy to take questions on this item. Councillor Burr.
I don't know where to start, actually. So, first of all, it's a very interesting report, and it hopefully provokes debate, and that is something that it has definitely done, provoked debate. But if we're not clear about what we do, we could end up with a monumental mess, I feel. Now, there's no argument that we've got to keep the livestock market. It's an important cultural heritage part of the local community, and it's also very important that we do move the market out of town, help with environmental issues and traffic issues. 2014, we all know the drill, sat on planning, helped the process of the relocation. Many houses were built, and the caveat was that the market company would be given a fully serviced 5-acre site, which has actually all been done and it is in place, and so that is really, really positive. The market company are well aware that they've got to vacate the site. But as you said, Chairman, it was only 2 months ago that you thought of maybe changing things and we could have a different debate and a different way forward. Well, 2 months is not a long time to be thinking about spending 2.2 or 3.2 million. So are we being asked to rescue the livestock centre? However, is that factually correct? And I've got a few questions, and I know the members will have a lot of questions. So I think the first thing that I need to ask you is, Councillor Ives, is that because you've brought this to us, you've obviously got some information, and you've quoted that in the paper, that without intervention of council, there is serious risk that the market will disappear. And I just wondered what that factual evidence was, because obviously 2 months is a short timeline, so obviously you've got more evidence than me. So I just wondered what factual evidence is that this market is going to disappear.
So the factual evidence is, as you stated yourself, the existing livestock market is on a short-term lease and notice could be served at any time. And if that notice was served, of which it's a very short period, there wouldn't then be a market to operate because there's no alternative site. And you make the point that this 2 months is not a long time. This issue has been going on for many decades, and ultimately you've got to move it forward. What we are saying this evening is that we move forward to develop a business case so we obtain further information, get all the data before making a final decision. So the decision's not being made this evening or for council, will be made at a later date, and the preparation of that information will indeed take many months in itself. So I do not believe we are rushing into this or making a rash judgment. Ultimately, you can go round and round in circles, but sometimes you've got to make a decision and decide and move forward, and that's what we're doing with the recommendation, deciding to move forward, but on the basis of having all of the information available, which is why the business case is required.
And, again, I'll just ask the same question. So what factual evidence is this actually based on? Is it that someone's come and told you that they can't function, or is it going to flood? Or what is the factual evidence that we're doing this?
Like I said, the existing market is on a short-term lease. The landowner of the existing market site has been clear that they have plans for that site. Indeed, there was only a letter in the paper a couple of weeks ago referencing the need for additional parking. There is also planning consent on that site. So notice may be served at any time. I think we've been fortunate that thus far notice has not been served, but that's not to say it won't happen in the future. When it is served, you won't be able to build a market in 30 days, so that's why it's important we move forward. Councillor Rip, have you got a question?
Two points, really. The map that we've been shown here isn't accurate. Absolutely. Can we have a real, up-to-date map, please, because that is totally inaccurate. And the road markings and where the roundabout actually is and where the pond is and where the buildings are going to be. There's another road there that's missing. The other thing is, how certain are we of the gift of the land to the council? What legal ramifications have we attempted or gone through or been assured of, please?
Okay, of course we'll provide an up-to-date map, and indeed one of the recommendations is that we look to build a detailed specification for this site. Sorry, the second question?
The gift of the land to the council.
Okay, that will be considered as part of the negotiations, and as you're aware, when you come to the legalities of these things, the actual contracts, the sale of land, it's highly complex, but that's why we need to look at this in detail, and of course we will not in any way, shape or form allow taxpayers' money to be put at risk on a pure technicality, but that's why it's important that we invest in technical and expert advice, which is part of this recommendation. Councillor Duncan.
Tonight we're deciding about whether to allocate £150,000 towards the business case to see whether this project is viable. While that will go in depth and in detail to see the ins and outs of this proposed project, could I ask what, at this initial stage, what discussions and feedback we've had from the auctioneers and also the farmers with regards to this proposal at this very initial stage?
So as part of the exercise, which is looking at the business case, obviously extensive discussions will take place with stakeholders, and indeed discussions have been ongoing with stakeholders for many years. And I think the message has always been loud and clear that we require a livestock market within Rydal, and that the council supporting that can only be a good thing. Now, in terms of the approach that we're taking, obviously it's come forward this evening, and we could not, you know, get into the sensitivities of one's personal view and, you know, disclosing the view of entities, because that's for them to disclose themselves. But naturally, when you're looking at a business case, of course you're going to have to speak to the auctioneers, of course you're going to have to speak to farmers, and that will absolutely be done.
My question is, have we had any discussions with the farmers or the auctioneers before we take that step of allocating £150,000 to a business case? Because there may be something which is said in those discussions which means that spending £150,000 is not quite the right decision. And I'm just wondering what conversations have officers had here with the auctioneers and with the farmers to say even whether they would be interested in still renting, perhaps, at the livestock market if we were to go down this route.
So what I do not want to get into is disclosing conversations about entities and their views. What I would say is this proposal would not be coming forward if it was not considered viable, and there was not considered the appetite to make this happen. Councillor Joy Andrews.
Thank you. I think you mentioned something about it could be the livestock market could be given 30 days notice. Was that correct?
I believe there is a rolling lease on there, which is a short notice period.
So, and you just said earlier that if we went out to and spent this £150,000 on getting all this information, and we know how slowly the wheels turn on that, if it is months, as you said, or possibly into years before we get anything back, if this market has closed in 30 days' time and there's been 9, 10, 11 months lost to farmers of the monthly market and they've gone elsewhere, are we then sort of spending all this money and then having to sort of kickstart or rejuvenate a market that's not been there for a year and farmers have gone elsewhere?
So obviously if that happened, the circumstances change and it's only right that you re-evaluate the situation. But that you're in a catch-22 situation. That risk is always going to be there. The only way that you eliminate the risk is moving forward, and this is a decision to move forward. Councillor Burr.
So two months is an awful long time to not a long time to decide to spend we aren't deciding to spend that tonight, but this is what we've got to think about. And so we must take everything and look at the documents that are provided for us. And yes, it has been going on for a long, long time. You are absolutely correct. But this council has never, ever, in any discussions that I've been in, and I've been in one or two, said that they would take the lead, or they'll build it, or they'll get the land, or they'll rent it to the farmers. It's always been the auctioneers and the farmers who we've been working in partnership with. A question was asked by Councillor Duncan, and he asked about what negotiations have we had. This particular report is not just for us, it's actually in partnership, and rightly so. It should be in partnership with the people who are going to use it and the auctioneers. So we should at least have had a conversation with them to ask them what they felt about it. And also, when they came and asked us for 800,000, and for various reasons we said we couldn't, maybe it would have been courteous if we'd have gone back and said, well, we can't give you 800,000, but we maybe can give you 2 point something or 3 point something million. What do you think of that? I don't believe that has happened. You're saying that it's a report, but what worries me is in the report there are detailed figures, and there are quite a lot of assumptions. And on 6.6 it says that the 0.5 million will be taken into the council's coffers, and 0.3 million of the auctioneer's pledges will be taken into consideration. So that's 0.8 million. It's not a million, but it's over half a million. So it's a big financial hit from those people. Now, this is a report that's come to us, and we are actually saying that we're going to take 0.8 million off somebody because it's in the plans, it's in the detail, it's in the guts of the agenda item, it's in the guts of the report. And I can't make a decision on things like that. So what I would like to ask you is, have the auctioneers, have they told you, because it's on the report and it's in the figures, have they told you that they're willing to give you the 0.3 million pound so that we can build it and then they can rent it? So I just want clarification on that.
Okay, so you raised several points there. In relation to the 0.5 million pounds, that's a section 106 funding. So it's not taking away money from an individual.
Sorry.
Indeed, that came from the Trust Corporation as a result of the enabling development element of the planning application that we saw on the Broughton Road area. Now, that half a million pounds is sat there doing nothing, and it can only become unlocked if it's used for the purposes to which it was intended, of which this is one. Otherwise, it's going to be sat there forever, really. And I think that would be a travesty. You mentioned there about a request which came forward for this council to give £800,000 for a market. Now, the difference is that that request was for us to gift, or you know, give the money or loan it at a low interest rate, which you immediately run up against state aid regulations, and also it's not, in my opinion, protecting this taxpayer's purse in the same way that having an asset there, owning the building and owning the land, will. Now, you know, as part of documents that the council has received, there has been statements that the auctioneers will contribute £300,000 towards the acquisition and building of a livestock market site. Now, obviously, it is part of any eventual negotiations, but this is only looking at it at a high level. And, you know, we need the business case. All of that will be hammered out. And you're talking there that we need more information. Well, that's what we're aiming to do. That would be the decision, to move forward, to get the information, to get the business case. OK? Councillor Duncan.
Links into
sorry,
my,
I've probably
my,
come to you
no,
too
sorry,
quickly. Councillor Thornton's indicated, Councillor Wainwright's indicated, then I'll come to you, so I did forget, I had two members.
Thank you, Chair. Well, this is a fascinating prospect. I don't know quite how we got into this mess, that I always thought that the livestock market was a given, that it was going to get developed. And then suddenly it became an aspiration, and now we seem to be catching the baby. And I don't understand where exactly did the decision for Rydale Council to deliver this come from? And so it would be good to know that, because we know about running a council. We know about council cash flows. And the budget underspend of 30%, you know, makes you wonder. What we don't know about is being a property developer. What we're not very good at is setting contracts. And what we're seriously not good at is monitoring contracts. And at first I was going to just make an amendment to a proven principle, get rid of the approval in principle, and you can have a look at it further if you wish, but not approve it in principle. But then I started looking into it further and thinking, I just cannot possibly support £150,000 of residents' money in the hope that we can spend 3.2 million or whatever the number is on a project about which we know nothing in terms of management and running. We don't know about the ancillary buildings. I spoke to an auctioneer at the weekend and I asked him about his ancillary buildings. He was a part of a national chain. He said he didn't really have ancillary buildings. He had a bit of a cafe and they sold a bit of insurance next to the market. But there is actually a market not far away down the road with massive fields, massive load of ancillary stuff run by Stevenson's, I believe. And, you know, it would be nice to keep the market in Moulton. It would be good. It was heritage. I love heritage. But I don't think it's Rydale's business, Rydale Council's business, to take a punt with 3 million quid's worth of the residents' money when there are so many more important things that we should be doing with our reserves. We look again at all those figures that come out in reports, and funnily enough, the WSP traffic report came up with some fascinating breakdown of the earnings and the attainment of people within Moulton and Norton, such that we're dead really short of management jobs, we're really short of high-paid jobs, but we've got plenty of low-paid jobs. We should be looking at jobs and encouraging that. We should be ploughing money into that, not into the concept that at any stage we could reasonably run an auction market, set the contracts, collect the money, take the risk that farmers won't use it, take the risk that farmers go down the road. Why do we think that Rydale Council can cope with taking a bet on an investment of £3 million worth of other people's money?
Thank you, Councillor Thornton. I did come to you out of courtesy, but you'll have noted there were other people wishing to ask questions. I don't think it's always courteous when we're in questions to go on to make a long statement. A reminder, we are in questions. If you've got a question, please raise it now, and then we're going to go into the debate. Councillor Wainwright.
Thank you. My question is to do with who will we get to develop the business case? Will it be council officers? Will it be the same people that did the previous business case that we saw 18 months ago, which was rubbish? No. Who will be developing the business case?
Okay, we'd have to go through a procurement exercise and obtain quotes for the business case, so I can't name a company that will be doing it now because that's unknown, and it's only right that we go out to, you know, obtain competitive quotes, but it will be done impartially, independently, and it will be experts doing it. It will not be council officers, nor will it be people involved with the existing operations, which I think were involved with the business plan that you refer to. Councillor Duncan.
Yeah, I had a question on the business case as well. I noted what you said earlier in response to Councillor Burr in that we need to get the information in order to see whether this is an investment which is worthwhile. However, before we can do that, in order to get that information, we're asking us to spend £150,000, which is in itself not an insignificant amount of money. And I was wondering where that £150,000 figure had come from if we are yet to obtain quotes or go through a procurement exercise into that. £150,000 on just a business case seems to me actually quite a lot of money, and I'm just wondering if there was any more information as to where that figure's come from, because the recommendation says to allocate £150,000. It doesn't say up to £150,000, it says specifically £150,000. And I'm just wondering where that figure might have come from.
Okay. So the £150,000 is the judgment of officers who drafted this report as to what the cost could be. I think it's a highly inflated cost, because simply if we put it probably too close to the actual figure, then that in turn encourages people to always come around that figure. It will be up to, I'd imagine it will be quite significantly less than the £150,000, but we can only really know the figure once we go out, obtain the quotes, and then once we've got the quotes, then it would go to the most competitive and best value provider.
Could I ask what would happen if we got quotes that were all above £150,000? What would happen in that case?
It wouldn't happen unless it obtained it, because this would be given authority to go up to £150,000 out with reserves. If it's £150,001, that would need further council authority under the terms of our financial regulations, because any spending of reserves needs to be approved by council.
And my last question is, we've got a figure in here of rental income from the auctioneers of £20,000. How has that figure been derived? Has it come from discussions with the auctioneers since this proposal has been put forward, or is that an estimate based on perhaps previous livestock market proposals?
That is based on previous discussions and based on knowledge of existing operations. However, that would be part of the business case consideration, because obviously we need to ensure that we have a viable operator on there before proceeding to build the market.
That seems to suggest that we might be commissioning £150,000 on a business case without yet knowing whether there is a viable operator for the site. Is that something fair to say?
Yeah. So there is currently an operator within Malton. That's an absolute fact. And if you've got facilities that are built to an even higher specification, there's no reason why you then still wouldn't have an operator. However, as part of the business case, there's been a lot of points raised this evening. Those will be considered, so we've got the full information prior to proceeding with the decision whether to invest up to £3.2 million. Councillor Fannell.
Thank you. Sorry to ask this question, but I'm needing clarification in my own mind. If this recommendation was approved this evening and it came back saying that there was a business case, does that report and that decision then come back to either P&R or full council?
Yes, so the decision made this evening will then go on to council. So the decision won't be made tonight, it will be made at the next full council meeting. After that is done, we will start the process to commission a business case, which could be up to the value of £150,000, although, as previously stated, one would expect it to be quite significantly less than that. And then after we have the business case, the full information and the specification, it would then come back to members for a decision, and that would make its way through the existing committee structure. So you'd expect it probably to go to Resources Working Party, then to Policy and Resources Committee, and then to full council. And it would be only when it went to full council again it would happen.
Thank you.
Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm worried about moving forward with a proposal that commits, we're going to spend some money to have a look.
Is this a question?
Yes. Yes, it is a question. And we are a council and we are putting money into a commercial asset, which we are going to draw rent from, but it doesn't sit comfortably with me because we haven't done that. We've got little bits and bobs, but this is a significant amount of money into a commercial asset. So my first question is, do you feel that this council should be working with and having a commercial asset? And my second question is, and I'm going to ask it again because I really do think it's important. Have the livestock market company and the auctioneers, because we need them, and I know there's plenty in, I don't know, wherever, Penrith or whatever, but we want to keep it local. Are they happy with this proposal that, and they would join in? As I say, I've told you that I'm worried about them, the auctioneers pledging the money. Are they happy with this proposal and would like to pursue it? Because it really would be helpful if we were all flying in the same direction, because I don't want it as a Rydale takeover. That's not what we're here to do, are we? So can you just answer me that question, please, Chairman? The livestock market company and the auctioneers locally, who we've been working with for probably, you know, a year, we've sat at meetings with them, are they happy to move forward with this proposal?
So the proposal is that the council build the building and acquire the land, of which much of that would be gifted from the existing landowner as part of the original Section 106 agreement. Okay? When you ask the question, am I comfortable with us operating as a, to have a commercial asset, I do not see this as purely a commercial asset. This is an asset that safeguards the cultural heritage of this district and contributes towards the wider economy. So it cannot be seen in purely as of the sense as a commercial asset, and that's why there's additional reasons for proceeding with it. In relation to your question, once again, I do not want to get involved in discussions that have been had with private entities. They can give you their own opinion. The proposal is that this council will build and own the building and the land, and then indeed we would lease that to an operator. Now, I do not think it's right that this council prejudges what that operator could be, because there could be several operators wanting to use that building, and there would be a decision for this council based on the circumstances then. But the decision this evening is to look at the business case, look at whether this is viable to move forward with, look at all of the salient points that have been raised this evening before making any final decision. It's moving it forward because, let's remember, this issue has been going on for many decades. Okay, so we've had plenty of questions now.
So you haven't answered that question. And out of courtesy, we've been working with these guys locally. And I think what you're trying to say is no, they haven't discussed it with you. And that is absolutely my interpretation. Out of courtesy, when you do business, you usually get the people who you're working close with is to at least understand what is going on, at least get some feedback. So it is looking like, whether you like it or not, and you want to wrap it up in all different words, it is looking like Rydale District Council is going to take over. And I think you just need to be honest with us and tell us about what is actually happening, because we have been working for a long time with local auctioneers and the livestock market company. If that's all fallen apart, I understand that. I'd like you to tell me, and then I maybe can vote or I maybe not. But I do need to know. I think we owe it to the people that we've been sat around the table, and I just think people want to know.
You mentioned the word honesty there, Councillor Burr.
Yes.
And you then mentioned the word takeover. Rydale District Council is not about to take over the operation of the livestock market at all. It would be leasing it to the operator who would be running the operation. We're not going to get into the business of buying or selling or trading livestock ourselves. I need to be absolutely clear about that. And mentioning the word takeover, do not think is helpful. Right, we're now going to move into the debate. No, I'm sorry, Councillor Thornton, you had the opportunity for the question and you did not
exercise. I have asked a number of questions, Chair, which you did not answer. We're talking of punting £3 million and you don't want to answer any questions.
I've asked plenty of questions. You had the opportunity to ask a question, and you did not exercise that right. I'm now
Chair, but I asked several questions within that, with what I said.
I did not.
And when you listen to the recording, you'll be able to hear those questions. I will continue to keep asking them under all manner of circumstances, but you have not answered my questions.
Thank you. We're now going to move on to the debate. As chairman of this committee, I move the report. Is that seconded? So that's been seconded by the vice chairman. Okay, so we're now moving to debate. Do members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Vapor.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, it's scary to appoint $3.2 million. It's a lot of money. But the economic welfare of this area of Rydale is paramount in our thoughts and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to achieve. We're going to facilitate a function and a building that's going to be occupied and used by somebody who's going to operate independently of us. If it's anything different to the swimming pools that we own and operate independently and somebody else manages that for us, you try to explain to me the difference, please. I don't see a difference in the operation of the swimming pools that we have as to owning an asset and having it operated by an independent rent payer doing another function, and we get the benefit of the rent. Also, we have a guarantee in a sense, and I'd like that guarantee fully more explained to us if we can, please, about the gifting of this particular piece of land. For me, it all hinges on that, that if it all goes pear-shaped, we can get our money back, more or less. That is our guarantee, if you like. So until that became apparent to me, I wasn't quite au fait with it. I was sceptical about it. But we have farmers out there who want this facility, but cannot, between themselves, get themselves together and organise themselves fully and get the money together to actually do this independently. We tried to help them in other ways previously. This has been going on, as has been said, for decades. It's been going on for years, just about all the time I've been on council. I've been here 21 years. We need to do something, and we need to do it safely and responsibly and for the benefit of Rydale. Not specifically our taxpayers, but the people who come in and, people come in and buy from this auction from outside Rydale. People come from outside Rydale and sell here. It's a facility that's valued. If you go and ask Driffield District Council, who got rid of their particular facility a number of years ago, they'll tell you it was one of the most retrograde steps they took. To a man, every councillor on there who was on there at that time will now tell you we did the wrong thing. And I don't want us to do the wrong thing. So you've got my support going forward on this, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Vapor. Do other members wish to speak? Councillor Duncan.
I think we all recognise that we should be the uncertainty which is facing the livestock market at the moment. And also, I think there's a shared agreement amongst us that we should aspire to try and keep the livestock market in Rydale. I think that's beyond question. We are talking about the principle of investing in ourselves as a council, investing in the livestock market. I don't really want to touch on that at the moment, because the actual decision before us tonight is whether we invest £150,000 in this business case. And I've raised a number of questions with regards to that business case. I've heard that it should be there to try and provide us with extra information and full information about whether we should take that final big step of investing £3 million into this facility. But at this stage, we also need to be sure that we're satisfying ourselves that investing £150,000 is a wise thing to do. I've raised concerns about where that £150,000 figure has come from. I've also raised concerns that I don't think yet we've got anything rock solid from the auctioneers who would be responsible for operating this facility. And I think until we've got some sort of conversation or assurance from them that they are interested in this particular model, that investing £150,000 might not be the wisest thing to do. However, the decision we make tonight goes to full council coming up very shortly, and perhaps there's a window that if we approve this tonight that we can get something from the auctioneers which recognises and responds to the proposal that we've got before us. I think before we make that final decision on the £150,000, I think we will benefit from that extra piece of information. However, one thing that does concern me, on page 203 at 6.9, it states that if members are minded to support the principal investing in the development of the new livestock market for Rydale, that a business case will be prepared by the auctioneers, who will be the operators of the market facility. Now, I sense some sort of inherent difficulty and potential risk for the council in allowing the operators of the facility that we are going to pay for to produce a business case on whether it's viable for us to invest that money in the first place. Now, I don't know if I'm interpreting that correctly at 6.9, but I thought from the questions that we had at the start of this meeting that it was going to go through some sort of procurement process to develop that business case and not limiting ourselves to the auctioneers, who, as present, we don't actually know what their views are on this proposal. So we'd be tonight approving £150,000 for them to prepare a business case, which we're not sure if they even want to prepare at the moment. I think there's some questions that need to be answered on that, and perhaps if we approve this £150,000 tonight, we need to make sure we have that information ready for the full council meeting when the final decision will be taken. I think we need some extra information on who exactly is going to be preparing this business case, and I would like some sort of separation between the council, ourselves as investors in this project, from the operators, who will be the auctioneers, and not them preparing a business case on our behalf about whether it's right for us to invest. I think we need to seriously consider that. I'm happy for us to take forward the recommendation, but I think before we make that final decision, we need that extra piece of information on exactly who will be preparing the case, some rough estimates of cost and where they've derived from, and some sort of statement of intent or view on the plan of Rydale District Council investing in the proposal. So, as I say, happy to support, but I need that extra information before we take that final decision at the full council meeting.
Yes. Just to confirm, the business case referred to in the report and the point that you referred to would be the auctioneer's own business case. It would be separate and independent to the business case that we commission as to whether this is a viable proposition for us to look at the building itself. We would not be funding the auctioneer's own business case. We would be looking at our business case as to whether it is a viable proposition for us to invest in acquiring the land and also building the building.
Okay, thank you for that clarification, Chairman. My point still stands, however, that if we are to commission, approve this recommendation tonight to the full council meeting, that we need to make sure that we have some sort of statement or view of the auctioneers before we proceed. Otherwise, we risk investing £150,000 in a business case which a potential operator is not going to be interested in. So I think we need to get their views at this very early stage before we get that full set of information on the viability of the proposal. I think that's vitally important for us to do that, and also perhaps the Fitzwilliam Trust Corporation to see if the land element of it is still as was agreed previously.
Thank you, Councillor Duncan. Councillor Thornton, I believe you indicated, then I'll come to Councillor Burr.
Thank you. I'm very disappointed that you didn't hear my questions when I spoke before. There'll be a record of them, and I probably don't have to ask them again because I don't think you really wanted to ask them, answer them. However, if it's thought to be a profit-making adventure and you've given us rates of return on that, why did the Fitzwilliam Estate not think it was a good idea to run with it? And why did two groups of farmers not want to make a go of it? Why do we think that Rydale Council can bet other people's money on this gamble and make a tidy profit? And have we looked at any of the business models that other people have looked at and got some guidance on why they all backed out of this? And are we hiring consultants to tell us what is known already? And when you're looking at the use of reserves from a council, is it prudent and in line with normal district council capital planning to become a property developer and put up a big building like that to rent out? I'd like to come back on a...
Okay, so we have several people who have indicated. I've got Councillor Andrews, Councillor Wainwright, Councillor Burr, Councillor Arnold, in that order. Okay, so I know there's a lot of people indicated so far. So, Councillor Joy Andrews at the moment, please.
Thank you. When I joined this council, I can remember Harrison House was mentioned, and that I think we bought and developed Harrison House, and we had big expectations of having good clients in there and a good return on that. And it was always sort of, we don't mention Harrison House, it's not great, we didn't get the people we wanted in it. We did get the CAB in. I think we gave them a grant for them to pay us back the rent of using the building. And the assets are, well, I don't know whether they are assets, the places we own at the moment, the buildings we own, we haven't actually put much money into, and they are sort of falling around about around our ears. I don't think it's a good idea for us to take yet more land and ultimately a building that will need maintaining when we can't look after what we have. And I just think it's, we need to look back at what we've done in the past, learn from that, and move on, and not commit a serious amount of money. And I'm talking the 150,000, because that is a serious amount of money. Not, you know, the 3.2 million. Well, it's just, you know, we need to learn from our mistakes, and we need to take back right off from this. Yes, we can still negotiate with farmers or the auctioneers and look at something else. But why is no one else touching this? And I think we need to be very, very wary about doing something like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Joy Andrews. Councillor Wainwright.
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to see a livestock market down at Eden Camp. However, I don't believe the Council should be involved in trying to finance it. You've talked about the importance of a livestock market to Moulton because of its cultural heritage. And lo and behold, we've come across £3 million in our budget, previous budget, that we don't know what to do with. Why don't we spend it on one of our cultural heritages, the Milton Rooms? They're crying out for money. That would be an asset to the town. That would be an asset to perhaps more people than would use the livestock market. We've got the rough costings on page 202 about what it's going to cost and who's going to put one in, what, how much money into. There's no mention on that list of the Farmers Livestock Market Company, who's managed to get some pledges from farmers, but that isn't shown. So my view, Chairman, is the fact that we will be spending a vast amount of money, perhaps 3.2 million if all goes to all, and we'll be building a nest for a dinosaur, because I don't believe a market of that cost will be viable in that place. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Wainwright. Councillor Burr.
I think there's no doubt that there is a general consensus that we were working towards and supporting the livestock market relocation in 2014, when on the back of all those houses, it was part, an integral part of the big plan. But 2 months ago, Councillor Ives decided, and he's admitted that he was going to change things. He's very brave, and obviously within, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 months, this is going to be on the table at full council for us to decide whether we're going to now spend £2 or £3 million, which was never in our strategic plan. We never all sat down and agreed with it. I'm like Councillor Wainwright. We've never had a deep discussion about it, but it's on the table, so we have to deal with it. As I've said before, the getting of the land is the real big worry for me. And putting £2 or 3 million is an even bigger worry when a few months ago we were only asked if we could support and give somebody, so the, you know, 800,000, and they probably would have been happy. So we could have then maybe spent our few million on affordable housing or something like that, so everybody would be happy. Do our residents really want to invest, or would they like to actually partially invest and let others, you know, move forward? I think the report is good, and I think it stimulates debate, but I don't think it's something really for sensibly moving forward. I wonder if our residents, when they elected us, did they elect us to be builders? Did they elect us to, you know, build out an industrial estate? Do they want us to be investors? That's fine, but I didn't think that is what the council did. I thought we were more facilitators, not investors. And just because we've had this underspend, which is financially very worrying, now we can suddenly become investors. I think we've got an awful lot going, and remembering that we're going to be moving out of this building, etc., etc., etc. I think Joy was really on the ball when she said, we only have to look at Harrison House. We only have to look at our Harrison House. And dare I say any more about that. Investment company, livestock investment company, I've asked and asked and asked and tried to ask, but I've got no real feeling that they're with us or they're without us. I know that we're not going to sell the sheep and the cows. I know that. I totally understand that. But we do need to have some working relationships. It's just all very deeply concerning to me. I do want to support it, but I think that, Luke, and obviously because you've said it's your idea and your plan, I just think it's just too much of, sounds like a good idea, and we haven't really, really thought it through. So I would be happy that if we just took a stop at this and reflected, and maybe didn't move forward because I can't support it, and then picked it up again and looked at some other different ideas. Because I tell you what, guys, once you commit to £150,000, within 6 months' time you'll have committed to £3 million and you won't be able to get out of it, and then see what you're going to do. But it's entirely up to you. I'm not doom and gloom. I am not at all. But we are not venture capitalists. We want to support the market. But is this really the right way to do it?
Thank you, Councillor Arnold.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've got several choices, really. We do nothing, we lose a cattle market, and perhaps lose a lot of new businesses at Eden Camp. Spend £150,000 for a business plan, which it proves correct and it proves good, will build a market. If it's not viable, we won't build a market. I'm in favour of spending up to £150,000. That will show up who our partners are and what direction we should go.
Thank you. Councillor Farnell.
I am concerned about the viability of the auction market. I'm uncomfortable that farmers actually want or need it. I'm worried it's spending £150,000 on the business case. However, I am willing to take this next step to prepare a business case, because I think it's only fair that we do embrace all communities within Rydale. And the only reason that I am happy about that is that the final decision will come back to members.
Thank you. Okay, so all members have spoken on this item. Councillor Thornton, if you're quicker, we'll come back to you, and then I'll wrap up and we'll go to the vote.
Thank you. My feeling is that the council has got no place in an investment of this significance, something that we don't know enough about, something we're not capable of running. If we want to spend £3.2 million, we should look to our statement of what this council's priorities are. and what the situation is in the data sets, which show poor jobs opportunities, low income household incomes, little access to affordable housing, and fuel poverty. Those are the things that we should be doing. We should be trying to recover young people into Rydale, not losing them. And we should be trying, in whatever way, to have high-paying businesses, such as might have happened in Pickering, had you not killed off the extension to the Thornton Road industrial estate. There are lots of opportunities to improve the well-being of Rydale. I don't see that the buying, developing a marketplace, a cattle market, is the thing to do.
Thank you. Councillor Thornton, you mentioned about the priorities of this council. The number one priority is to create the conditions for economic success. If this is successful, it will act as an anchor for the Eden Camp site, which in turn can lead to hundreds of more jobs. We've all heard about that, and that's why there's already been funding, not just from the local enterprise, but there's also been an acknowledgement of that from the government through the local growth deal and also through the enterprise zone. Councillor Duncan.
Very briefly, Mr. Chairman, could I ask that if this decision is approved tonight, that before it reaches the full council for final approval, can I ask that this council formally writes to the auctioneers and to the farmers group asking for their views in writing in time for the full council meeting, and for any correspondence received to be circulated to members before we take that decision? Could I ask for that assurance before we vote tonight?
By all means, we can write to the stakeholders and ask for their views. That can be done. I wouldn't want to give an absolute guarantee of that, just in case one of the parties wishes to disclose confidential information, but as a point of principle, yes. Because yes, we can take that approach. Councillor Wainwright.
Chairman, if we're going to write to the two livestock companies, could we also write to the two estate companies as well to get their views?
But you mean the Trust Corporation and Fitzwilliam Moulton Estate? Yeah.
Please.
Yes. We're not waiting. The four persons, but remember that this is to look at doing a business case, which would have that wider consultation, but we can look at those immediate ones that have been suggested. Okay, we're now going to proceed to the vote, please.
Chairman, that's 6 votes for, 3 against and 1 abstention.
Okay, so that is passed and it will go on to the next full council meeting. So that concludes the business this evening. So I therefore close the meeting. Thank you.